Last Sunday, I gave you an assignment based on this song. The song is from Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. My encouragement to you, my assignment for you, was to do what this verse instructs. Be still. Turn off the TV. Turn off the phone. Find some solitude, some quietness. Be still and know that I am God. Spend some time contemplating God, communing with God. My theme last Sunday was Behold Your God. Behold Your God. We studied the nature of God as revealed in Isaiah chapter 40, and we learned two things about God. We learned that God is great and God is good. I gave you a yellow slip of paper with this chapter written completely out, Isaiah 40, so you might read it and use it as a catalyst for worshiping God, worshiping His greatness and His goodness. Now the question is, did you follow through with your assignment? Did you follow through? Let's have a nod. How about this? Too busy? Life too full? Did you spend some time alone this week contemplating the nature and character of God? If you did, I think you'll find it rewarding, refreshing, reviving. So the assignment is still there. Maybe I'll hold you accountable every week until I get some nods. Find time to be still and know that God is God. Not us, but God is God. Today I've selected another chapter that will lift our eyes towards God, that will lift us heavenward. A beautiful chapter that will prompt us to worship Him. This week we're in Psalm 139. Now we finished that long series, a two-year-long series going through the Bible, what the Bible is all about. So between now and Christmas, I've just taken some of my favorite chapters and studying them. We'll talk about Thanksgiving, we'll talk about Christmas. And in January, I've got a whole new series planned that I'll tell you about later. And I'm really excited in January to start something new that might take as much as 6 months. But today we're in Psalm 139, and I've titled my message, Our Infinite and Intimate God. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's had a huge impact on my life to understand God better. These two truths seem to arise out of the psalm, that God is infinite. He's all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, always present. He's unlimited. He's infinite in every way. We saw that last week. We see that this week. But this psalm also reveals that God is personable, personal and knowable. Not only is He infinite, He's intimate. Intimate. I can only say that word right. He isn't distant, but close to His people. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Let me say that again. He knows you better than you know you. He knows your motives. He knows your heart. And He loves us in spite of what He knows. In spite of our frailties, in spite of our failures, He still loves us. So God is both infinite and intimate. We'll be learning that about that as we read this psalm. Does this sound a little familiar, though? We learned two similar truths last study in Isaiah 40. We learned that God is great and that God is good. God is great, He's all-powerful, He's the creator of heaven and earth. We saw in Isaiah 40, that He holds the oceans in the palms of His hand. That's how big and how powerful God is. He measures out the oceans in the palm of His hand. That He measures off the universe with a span of His fingers. That's how great and powerful God is. That He numbers the stars, which are innumerable, they're uncountable, so many of them, we can't discover them all, but God knows them all and calls them all by name. We saw that in Isaiah 40. God is great, but He descended to the level of lost humanity and came and lived among us. So God is good because He became our Savior. our shepherd, our comforter. He may seem so great and so powerful, yet he's as personal as a shepherd, a comforter, and he promises to strengthen us when we wait on him. So Isaiah 40, last Sunday, tells us that God is great and God is good. Psalm 139 tells us that God is infinite and God is intimate. Even though these themes sound familiar, let me suggest one way they are different. In Isaiah 40, we are encouraged to behold your God. Behold our God. Psalm 139, we see God beholding us. God watching us. God looking at us. We are the focus of God's attention in Psalm 139. You and me. Us. There are 43 personal pronouns in this psalm. I, 16 times. Me, 17 times. My, 10 times. So David, who wrote this psalm, is marveling at his God's love for him. He says, you love me. You know where I go, what I think. You know all about me, but you love me. Today, I hope we marvel at the fact that God loves us, just like he loved David. Isaiah 40, we're encouraged to pursue God. Psalm 139, we see God pursuing us. In reality, though, we can't pursue God unless he first pursues us. We love him because he first loved us. No one can come to the Father unless God, the Father, draws him. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him, the Bible says. So Psalm 139 shows us how God loves us, how he draws us, how he pursues us. So it's all about God's care for you, God's care for me. So open your Bible to Psalm 139. Notice how the psalm begins. For the choir director, a psalm of David. Who's the author? David. And it's for the choir director. This is a song. The psalms are songs. The book of Psalms is the hymn book of the Bible, hymn book of the Hebrew people. So David, the shepherd boy, David, the giant killer, David, the king of Israel, but most of all, David, the man after God's own heart, wrote this psalm. We have his words, his worship, his song to God. I wonder if someday we'll get to hear these songs in heaven, how they were written originally. We don't have the music, we just have the words. These are songs to be sung back to the Lord. Psalm 139 divides into five powerful truths. And I've given you a bulletin insert if you want to write those down. They're easy to follow. We will consider them one at a time as we just read through this chapter verse by verse. First point is God knows the real you. God knows the real you. Sometimes we may wonder, does God really know me, little old me? Does God even notice me? Nobody notices me. My family doesn't notice me. My boss doesn't notice me. Nobody knows who I really am. When we hear how great and how powerful and how infinite God is, we realize how small and how insignificant we are in comparison. We find ourselves asking the same question as David asked in Psalm 8. David says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, do you realize the universe is the work of God's fingers? Not his muscles, his fingers. It was so easy for God to create the universe. That's how big and powerful God is. When I consider the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? What is man? Who am I that God would notice me? That's David's question in Psalm 8, but David answers the question in Psalm 139. Look at verse 1 again. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. This great big God knew David, and he knows you. He who calls the stars by name knows your name and everything about you. Verse 2 continues, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. That's pretty detailed knowledge, don't you think? He sees all our activity or inactivity, sitting down, rising up, even as insignificant as these little things are, God notices them. His knowledge, though, goes even deeper than what we do on the outside. He sees what's on the inside. How can God see that? But look at the verse 2. You understand my thought from before. God knows your thoughts. Oh, that's scary, isn't it? Sometimes we don't think such good things. Sometimes our motives aren't always the best. Not only does he know what we do, he knows why we do what we do. That's how much knowledge he has. Nothing is hidden from his sight. No wonder David prayed in Psalm 19. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Not just my words. He can understand the meditation of your heart. Verse 3 continues, you scrutinize. Oh, don't you love that word? You inspect, you analyze. You scrutinize my path. You see where I'm going, what I'm doing, and my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Not some of my ways, all of my ways. He examines every detail of our life, and he knows our path. Would Jesus be comfortable walking in your path, going with you where you go, driving with you in your car, watching what you watch on TV? He watches us when we lie down. What does that mean? When we go to sleep. He never slumbers. That's what the Bible says. He who never slumbers watches us while we slumber. We have his constant attention. Now, how does that work with all of these people that live at once? God has the ability to know us all that way. That's how big and how powerful and how great God is. Infinite in knowledge and wisdom. He's intimately acquainted with everything about us. That's where I got that word for this title. He's infinite and intimate. He's acquainted with every detail of our life. That even includes foreknowledge. Did you know that? Look at verse 4. Even before there's a word on my tongue, God, you know it all. Oh Lord, you know it all. Even before there's a word on my tongue. He knows what you're going to say before you know what you're going to say. He can see the beginning from the end. He knows you better than you know you. So that's my first point. God knows the real you. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He knows the positives. He knows the negatives. Yet in spite of all our deficiency, God still loves us. He still pursues us. Let's look at our second point. Number 2, God is closer than you think. God is closer than you think. Does God sometimes seem far away? Distant? Do you sometimes feel like you're facing life alone? Where are you, God? I need your help. This psalm reassures us that God is closer than you think. You may not know this, but God is with you all the time. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Look at verse 5. You have enclosed me, David says, behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me to understand. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. God is surrounding us. You know that? He knows my past, says he's behind me. He knows my future, says he's before me. He knows my present, he's over me. He's upon me. When facing trials and hardships, remind yourself that God is on right, on your left, on your front, on your back, and over you. He's protecting you. The angels of the Lord encamp round about those who fear him. God is closer than you think. David now speaks in hyperbole to make his point. Look at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Good question. If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. God is holding you no matter where you go. There's no place that is out of God's watchful eye. There's no place that is beyond God's presence. If you ascend to the highest height, he says heaven, or descend to the lowest death, the grave, Sheol, if I sink to the bottom of the sea, even God's there. Was God with Jonah in the bottom of the sea? When Jonah prayed, did God hear him, or was he out of God's sight? God never misses us. He's still with me. He'll always be with me. Now, this truth is both comforting and convicting. For those who are right with God, this is reassuring to know that he's with us wherever we go. We're always under his watchful, caring, loving eyes. That's a comforting thought. But for those who are not right with God, and every room like this is going to be some that just haven't yet surrendered to Christ, you're outside of God's favor. This is a troubling truth. It's disturbing. There's no escaping from God. There's no running away from God. No hiding from God. No fleeing from his presence. He's there, convicting you every step of the way. Are you running from God? He can outrun you. Are you trying to hide from God? God sees you. There's no dark places you can hide from God. How do I know that? Look at the next verse. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. No matter where you hide, God will find you. So stop running. Stop hiding, and get right with God. Well, how, Pastor Mike? How do I get right with God? Well, we learn in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, instead of hiding our sins, confess our sins. Come clean with God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can come into a right relationship. You can be forgiven. You can come out of the dark and into the light if you choose to. You must choose that. I can't choose it for you. I can encourage you. I can nudge you. Stop running from God and run to God. So far, we've discovered two truths. God knows the real you, and God is closer than you think. Thirdly, God has always been at work in your life. Do you realize that? God has always been at work in your life. Some of us trusted Christ as children. If you're one of those that trusted Christ as a child, just raise your hand just for a minute. I want you to look around. Most everybody here. That's why it's so important to have children's ministry. Others have met Christ as adults. Who here has met Christ as an adult? A handful of us. We tend to think, well, that's when God began his work in me, when I met him. But the reality is, God has always been at work in your life. He's always been calling out to you. You see his glory in creation, in the world, in circumstances. God is working in your life all along. Even before you were born, God has his eyes on you. Did you know that? You've been part of God's plan even before you were conceived. How do I know that? Because of verse 13. It says, you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. God designed you while you were still in the womb to be the kind of person you are, with your strengths and your weaknesses. You are a special creation of God. We read in Ephesians 2, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You're the art project of God. That's why we as Christians are pro-life, because we believe that God created us, designed us, and that life begins in the womb. That's what this verse says. Even before I was born, you wove me in my mother's womb. I recently saw a photo on Facebook that caught my attention. Is that beautiful or what? Little clay baby. Jesus is the potter. We are the clay. Every child is created by God. Every child is loved by God. What should be our response to this truth? We should respond as David did in verse 14. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Not evolved, but made. You are created by God. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. When we realize that God designed us and created us just the way we are, we need to stop and say, thank you. I will give thanks to you. We need to worship him, praise him. It should fill us with wonder. God has a special plan for my life. Again, we see the knowledge of God in verse 15 and the foreknowledge of God. Look at verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. Did you hear that phrase? Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. In your book were all written the days that are ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God knows your lifespan. Only he knows what you're going to accomplish or not accomplish. But he knows it even before there's one day. Even before we are born, God numbers our days. Now, I can't comprehend that greatness, that power, that omniscience. But that's what the Bible says about God. He knows everything about us. And he's always been at work in my life. Aren't you glad God has revealed himself to us? We could have made this kind of a God up. Aren't you glad that we have an infinite God? And aren't you glad he's an intimate God, that he loves us, chooses us? That leads us to our fourth truth. Point one was God knows the real you. God is closer than you think. God has always been at work in your life. And to the fourth point, God loves you more than you can even imagine. Not only does he know us intimately, he loves us. Now that's truly a miracle that God would love me. None of us deserve God's love. None of us merit God's love. The Bible declares that God loves us, that Jesus loves us. But there seems to be two degrees, is that the right word, of love? There's general love for all people. God created the whole world. He created us in his image. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God loves the world. He created us in his image. But sadly, some do not respond to his love. And it says that those who do not believe will perish. If we do respond and believe in him, then we enter into a special kind of love. We have the general love for all the world, but special love for those who follow him, who become his children. This is a special love for his family. Listen to John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. When you respond to God's love, you become part of his family. You become his child. He becomes your heavenly father. There's a special love between God the Father and his children. God's children experience a deeper love from God than the rest of the world, because they have a personal, loving relationship with their heavenly father. So there's general love and there's special love for his family, his followers. Have you responded to God's love? Have you trusted Christ? Only then can you really experience God's love for you and God's blessing on your life. In Psalm 139, verse 17, God's love is described. He says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God? How vast the sum of them? If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God loves us so much that he's constantly thinking about us. His thoughts toward us outnumber the sand of the sea, it says. This is expressed a little more clearly in the Living Version, New Living Version. It says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, you are still with me. I am still with you, and you are still with me. We're in a relationship. You're always thinking about me, so much so that outnumbers the sand. Imagine that. God is thinking about you. Who, me? I'm a nobody. You're somebody in God's sight. God is pursuing you. Let me ask you, are you pursuing him? Are you thinking about him? Is he your preoccupation? Skip down to verse 23. We're going to see our fifth and final point. God desires to lead you. God desires to lead you. David ends the psalm with a prayer of commitment. He says, search me, verse 23, O God. In the beginning, he says, you have searched me and you've known me. So now he says to God, search me and know me. Know my heart and try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. He says, in the beginning, he says, I know you've pursued me, you know me. Now he says, well, I'm just an open book. Search me, try me, and lead me. Let God reveal to you who you really are, your anxious thoughts, your worries, your troubles. God, search me, test me, refine me, perfect me, and then lead me in the way that's best, the everlasting way. Since God knows his best, since God loves us intimately, isn't it logical that we say, Lord, lead me in the way I should go from this day forth and forever? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. As we wrap up this morning, let me change these five truths to five affirmations. Same statements, except instead of saying you, I'm going to say me. Are you ready? Let's claim these five truths for our own lives. I'm going to say one, and then you say the statement. Repeat them out loud. Number one is... Okay, say that again. Do you believe that? That God really knows you? Number two.
God is closer to me than I.
He's closer to you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He's with you everywhere you go. You can't escape from his presence. Number three.
God has always been at work in my life.
Do you believe that? God is at work in your life. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Number four. You need to hear that again. Say it again. Ready? Number four.
God loves you more than I can imagine.
God loves you more than you can even imagine. And finally, number five.
God desires to lead me from
this day forward. Will you let God lead you? Will you follow him all the days of your life? That is Psalm 139. Take some time this week to read it again, meditate on it, claim these promises for yourself. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you know me through and through. Lord, I invite you to continue that process of searching my heart and revealing to me my blind spots and my hidden sins. Search me, O God. And Lord, thank you that you'll never leave me or forsake me. Thank you that you're always close to me. If there's no way I can escape your presence, what a comfort that is. Your watchful eye is always on me. And thank you, Lord, for your continued work in my life. You drew me as a child to the point where I came to you. Continue drawing me, continue pursuing me. And Lord, I choose to pursue you and live for you. Thank you for loving me in spite of my sin, my failures. Thank you for sending Jesus to forgive my sins. And thank you for your promise to lead me from this day forward. And thank you, Lord, for being infinite in power, unlimited in knowledge and wisdom. But thank you, Lord, that you are also intimate and approachable, knowable, and that you can be called our Father. Thank you for this psalm that teaches us all these things. In Jesus' name. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I'll see you through whatever troubles you. Be still and know that I am God. Let's stand together for a closing song.